And welcome back to you this week on Channel 9, a special St. Patty's Day episode.
Yeah, I got my green shirt on, you got your gator shirt on.
That is not green. That is not at all green.
Listen, my eyes, I see everything grayscale, and this is green, okay? This is in the grayscale green.
Okay.
And let's get to our big story.
IE9.
Yes,
IE9. RTM, or W.
RTW, technically, yeah. So it shipped, baby.
It did.
Big party at South by Southwest. Lots of stuff going on. Charles did a recap post of a lot of the videos and content that we've put on IE9. So for people looking for IE9 content, want to hear from the team, definitely check this out. It has links to a lot of good videos. And, of course, the one we covered last week was Charles talking about the thank you to the community for filing bugs.
And lots of really good feedback from the community as well. I've seen lots of influencers that have installed it and said, hey, you know what? Microsoft got it right. This is a great browser. And I agree. I found one bug. It's not related to IE9 itself per se, but after I installed IE9 and ran Windows Update, it wanted to install the IE9 RC again. So just be on the lookout for that. They're fixing it. It's probably fixed by now. But if you install the RTM release,
so what happens when you don't have Brian Keller spot checking your products?
I know.
Jeez. Moving right along. So now that we have IE9 tools for IE9, one of them is Expression Studio. So it has Expression Studio for the web tools specifically. Now support IE9. They have HTML5 code support.
So you need to back up. This is the service pack. So service pack one for Expression Studio 2. What do they call it? Expression Studio 4.
Expression Studio 4 service pack 1.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
So HTML5 code support. So I'm in there. I want to, for example, add the video tag. Boom. I have IntelliSense on video tag. I know what attributes are supported and
Love it. Super preview for IE9.
Super preview for IE9. CSS3, a lot of people like. So there's a lot of features if you're building HTML5 applications that Expression Web is a great tool for. Expression Web with the service pack.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. Good stuff.
Cool. And so you guys have a brand new member of Channel 9 now. You've basically gone through and inherited the events, all events, grouped them together. So you can check out the mix events. You guys are going to be working on bringing other events forward, like TechEd maybe.
Yeah.
So, PDC.
Think of our slash events. You know, our teams and sister teams do a lot of these kind of events, whether it's smaller like events like the recent MVC Conf, to the Silverlight Fire Charter, to bigger events like Mix and all the way up to PDC, TechEd, all those three just big events. We have one place they do a lot of those sessions online. They've always been on different sites.
Right.
Now the idea is we can consolidate and put them on one place.
One-stop shopping.
So I can search for all Brian Keller speaker sessions across all the different events across time.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I think it's cool. So yeah. Kudos to Duncan and the dev team for shipping just the first release of this. And there's going to be a lot more, obviously, as events go on, and including Mix 11 sessions. The session metadata is actually on there today.
And I don't know if I can talk about this, but Jeff said today that you guys are going back and re-encoding old videos to support Silverlight streaming as well.
For some videos, yes.
Okay.
I don't know if it's for all of them, just because you can imagine events.
All videos being re-encoded used for Silverlight streaming.
Like, every TechEd has 400, and there's TechEd North America, Japan, Australia, New Zealand.
Yada, yada, yada.
What am I missing?
Cambodia. Middle East, Brazil, Africa.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Yes. So we should build our own TechEd, like something like really small.
Like TechEd Dan's house?
Yeah, like something like that. Yeah. Like what's the place where everybody goes for spring break?
I don't know.
Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu.
TechEd Lake Havasu.
Woo!
Yeah, session. Oh my gosh, the first drowning during a session. That's awesome.
It wouldn't be the first, actually.
Who is drowning during sessions?
Under legal disclaimer, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
I hope it was drowning with boredom.
In any framework 4.1 RC, which I actually think these guys are cutting themselves short by calling it a point release, but this is basically code first Entity framework, where I can write my code the way I want my code to work, and then it spits out a model which behaves the way that I've said I want it to behave like.
Yeah, and I think these guys are getting a lot of credit from folks like that are in Hibernate or n-Hibernate. for the .NET version were like, hey, here's how we want to do object relational mapping. You know, any framework doesn't have this. You guys suck. You guys suck. And they're getting, I guess, a lot more of a, wow, you all have reached, you know, a lot of parity, and you're really taking our feedback, so we really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And this is now a go-live license as well.
Oh, great.
So the final releases will happen in a month, but now people can actually build apps, push the apps into production using this.
That's awesome.
So, and I do love, and everybody loves Code First. And I think this is a post by Scott Hanselman that kind of gives you the overview. And Scott actually has an interview as well with Jeb Jurstad. So
cool. I love it. I love this stuff.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Tasks.show.
Yeah. So this is Greg Duncan found this. It's an app. So the idea is a sample app shows you all the source code of how everything works, mm-hmm. But it actually shows Win7 features, right? So it's like the taskbar, Windows Touch, all that typical thing that you had in the Windows API code pack mm-hmm. are available, and this is an app that kind of lights those things up. But it's also just a beautiful app.
Yeah.
So just a simple task tray, and you get to see how to do nice, pretty applications.
And so for people that don't know the .show brand, this is a brand that our cohorts over in DPE use to create really compelling, beautiful looking apps for Windows that show off the Windows capabilities.
Yeah, I think there's a video one.
There's a family.show, video.show,
right.
And then flashcards.show.
Right,
yep.
Right. So cool stuff.
Yep.
Lightswitch.
Lightswitch Beta 2. So Soma actually announced this at Tech Ad Middle East.
I was there,
and he gave a nod that said this was coming, and now it's available. So you can download the Lightswitch Beta 2. What I really like about this is that you can publish your Lightswitch apps directly to Azure now. So that's integrated, which means that if I'm a Lightswitch developer, you know, I'm probably not a professional developer. I might be, but one of the nice things about Lightswitch is that it extends it so that end-user developers, people that may be, an IT guy by the day, that want to write a really simple app, can use Lightswitch to do exactly that. And so now I don't have to then go to the development team and say, hey, where do you guys host your applications? I can just get an Azure account and publish straight to Azure. So it makes it really nice. And, of course, lots of other improvements that you'd expect going from Beta 1 to Beta 2.
Cool. And check out Jason's post for the full breakdown on Beta 2.
Right. And
that's now, available now to download, by the way.
And it now works with Visual Studio SP1 side-by-side, whereas in the past, if you had Beta 1 of Lightswitch and you installed SP1, you would have some problems.
And, of course, you heard about that on our last show that you weren't at. So that's cool.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
AGFX. So AGFX, think of it as AG being the term for silver.
AGFX?
Right, the symbol for
silver?
Oh,
yeah, silver, yep.
The app, they kind of go through the scenario where, like, the typical app fetches data from the net, processes the data, binds it to some UI, especially using MAVM, caches the data, and then needs to, you know, check if the cache is valid or invalid. Otherwise, if it's valid, I can go to the local store, needs to save that data to a local store.
Back up a second. This is a Windows Phone 7 app?
Yeah, it's a framework for how to work with data with all these common tasks. So should I go to the web? No, I should use my local thing. Oh, I'm shutting down. I need to save my data. You have to do all these kind of common tasks. So it's a framework that does all these things for you. So it does cache invalidation. It does saving the data. It does a number of things that you find people doing within Windows Phone 7 applications, and they've been using it for real-world applications as well. So you can go ahead and take it and just reuse their a lot of their best practices around saving, cache invalidation, all that good stuff.
Wow, that's awesome. I wish it had a more descriptive name, because I think a lot of people are going to look at this and be like, what is AGFX?
But yeah, well, I think the other thing is FX makes it sound like an animation framework.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's actually what I thought it was when I first heard of it. But they actually go through calling the Weather Service XML, the NOAA mm-hmm. example, so you can kind of walk through it, too.
Cool. Air hockey.
Yeah, so this is Andy Bellew.
Bellew, yeah.
I'm always going to screw up.
Friend of the
it's
show.
Only one
Hi,
L,
Andy.
By the way.
Yeah.
Okay. We had actually started Andy on the concept of Pocket Puck for Coding for Fun Windows Phone 7 app. So we got a lot of parts done. There's still some UI things that we want to do. The cool thing is this actually UI is done by the Pixel Labs guys. So of which Adam Kinney mm-hmm. works for Pixel Labs these days.
Yep.
This is a set of tutorials that explain how to build this application using Expression Blend, the Farseer physics engine, and the Physics Helper library.
So this looks beautiful, but mm-hmm. I have to say it looks like there's a piece of cake on the ice. What's
yes.
going on there?
So our idea was maybe following air hockey with the model of mini golf. Right? So in mini golf, there's different levels.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you're playing air hockey with many levels. So there's three pucks.
Oh.
There's power-ups. There's three goals you have to depend against.
And what's the cake do?
It gets crazy. Let me think. I think cake grows you. So the if you see, I think one of these pucks may be larger or smaller, for example.
Okay.
So you can imagine like, oh, okay, it's a lot easier to defend against a goal. Or it could, for example, shrink one of these, freeze one in place. There's all kinds of power-up stuff that you can do.
Got it.
So, yes.
Did you ever use this? This is kind of reminds me of the Mutant League football and Mutant League hockey and all those Mutant League games for Sega Genesis.
No,
they were awesome. Like you had this team of zombies and you would like throw a long bomb and it literally was a football that would explode. So you would get out of the way, let the other team catch it, and then they would lose a player.
Mm.
It was awesome. It was one of my favorite like sports games of all time. So it just reminds me of that.
Okay, yeah, so, this should be fun, and hopefully we'll have the other tutorials and a couple other things fixed up.
Cool.
And you'll actually see this in the marketplace.
Time period library. So we didn't get a chance to cover this before the show, so I don't know what this one is, actually.
Yeah, let me try and explain this. So it's a library mm-hmm. to do time period calculations. So, for example, if you wanted to build this thing, and there's a bunch of different relations within, so something that starts inside, something that inside starting touch, like enclosing starting touch, so it's within this area, it's totally enclosed ending touch.
So what
you want to visually represent this?
Okay,
these
so you feed
time periods.
You feed times into this sample app, and it emits something that looks like this.
It's more a library. To
okay.
to build apps like this, so it can let you do that. And the point of it does have some things on the visual side, but it's really the reason I think it's cool is because I started thinking about one of the things we were looking to do is like in a demo or a session, you have like a timeline
mm-hmm.
of where something starts and ends. There's a clock, and then the next time it starts, like I'm going to start first demo 0 to 5.
Okay.
Next thing starts at 5 to 7. Then
it's kind of setting the audience's expectations.
You have kind of this cumulative clock,
yeah.
And there's no good library to do that stuff, or it's too complicated. There's a lot of things where people are doing, like these are really just relative time periods,
mm-hmm.
right? So being able to do something like that is a handy library to have, so I figured I got to be not the only developer that wants this.
Okay, and then this is on Code Project?
And it's pretty. Code Project,
awesome. All right. So, picks
of
the week. So, my pick of the week, this is a shameless plug, I know, but I'm really pleased to say that my second book that I've worked on is finally out. So, if you looked at my last book, it's a Professional Application Lifecycle Management with Visual Studio 2010. So, it covers everything from architecture, development, testing, project management, and then a bit of Team Foundation Server.
Mm-hmm.
This book is for someone that really needs to go deep on Team Foundation Server. So, whether you're brand new to it or you're evaluating it, if you are the guy that's responsible for maintaining the server, or someone who needs to do some advanced branching and merging operations, someone who needs to take care of like high availability, backup restore.
Is this more like almost more for like an IT pro, if you will, like the build guy?
I would say it's also for that person, but if you're, you know, depending on the organization,
is
you
it
might
a dev?
Be. Yeah, sure.
Why would a dev need to worry about this much about TFS?
So a dev may or may not be responsible for setting up Team Foundation Server, but they could be responsible.
But I'm saying if they're not.
If they're not responsible for that aspect, then they're probably still responsible for figuring out what.
Then they should buy my other book.
Responsible for figuring out branching and merging strategies.
But don't you cover
team?
That in Professional Application Lifecycle Management?
Not at the same level of depth. So
okay, so if
we,
the dev
we got
needs
you. You have
deep.
To buy them both.
Really? No.
No. So if the dev is deep, if you're a project manager, I put together the blog post that goes into more details. But
okay,
it's available shipping now from Amazon.
Awesome.
And I think last time I checked, we're like number 6 in software development books right now. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
And co-authors.
Co-authors, Grant Holliday, Martin Woodward, and Ed Blankenship was our lead author and carried the bulk of this assignment. So.
Okay, so heard of those guys. Great.
Yep.
Awesome. So my pick of the week actually comes from Amanda Silver, so shout out to her. It's the MS Paint actually interpreted as PCM data. So people might have seen this before. It looks like it was reposted on YouTube and Reddit. But you just really need to listen to the whole thing, at least listen to the first minute, and you'll see that it gets...
It's actually pretty... Like, we were skimming it before the show, yeah.
We got in the elevator and we're like, nts, yeah. Nts, nts, nts.
So that's awesome. That's a cool. I would love to see other executables, other famous, you know, files that are out there. Maybe like screensavers converted into PCM or things like that. So
this show.
Yeah, this show. Oh, someone's going to do that now. Yeah.
All right, cool stuff. And hopefully, with any luck, Michael can actually play us off with a little paint.exe music.
That's right.
And we will see you next week.